Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 87 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
The university needs to be able to make a decision about budget, courses, tenure, hiring and firing without the pressure of a governor being able to totally wipe out a board if he disagrees with that decision.
Attorney General Andy Beshear and Governor Matt Bevin met in state Supreme Court on Friday.
10% of Kentucky senior citizens are food insecure.
Rowan jailer Wes Coldiron says his detention center is prepared in case of a prison riot.
In sports, Moorhead soccer team plays its home opener tonight at Jane Stadium.
Bud Luke has the stocks report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows in the mid-70s. Your extended forecast is coming up after this news.
Governor Matt Bevin's administration and Attorney General Andy Beshear appeared before the Kentucky Supreme Court on Friday, arguing on whether Bevin had the authority to reorganize the University of Louisville's Board of Trustees last year. A lower court ruled in September that Bevin overstepped his power in abolishing and reconstituting the U of L board after Beshear sued. Meanwhile, the General Assembly passed a pair of bills in this year's legislative session that largely followed the governor's executive order. Steve Pitt, Bevin's general counsel, told Spectrum News' Pure Politics that the legislature's action rendered Beshear's lawsuit moot.
A new statute has intervened that is much more specific than 12.028. That governs removal of board members and reorganizations of university boards. So our position is that that new specific statute would be the one that either this governor or a future governor would use if the circumstances came about that a board member had to be removed or a board had to be reorganized.
Beshear says Pitt admitted in court that he could not use the reorganization power for public universities.
The city of Louisville has filed a lawsuit against the three biggest opioid distributors. The suit accuses Cardinal Health, AmerisourceBergen, and McKesson of dumping millions of pills into Louisville neighborhoods while declining to monitor, report, and halt suspicious shipments of opioids. Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher spoke on the matter.
Our goal with this lawsuit is to dramatically reduce the flow of prescription opioid painkillers into our community and force those who caused the crisis to pay for the treatment and service costs that our community can no longer absorb.
Mayor Fisher says these distributors have led to everything from overdose deaths to increased crime in the city. He says they plan to seek damages to help combat the crisis.
Kentucky's second largest city could have to pay millions more to its police and fire pension fund. The Lexington Herald Leader reports the Kentucky Supreme Court declined to hear an appeal from the city of Lexington last week. That means a state court of appeals decision ordering the case back to the circuit court will stand. Fayette Circuit Judge Ernesto Scorzone must decide how much money the city owes to the pension fund. Retired Lexington police officer and pension board member Tommy Puckett said the city could owe the fund as much as $25 million. A spokesman for the city declined to comment, saying officials were still reviewing the Supreme Court's decision. Lexington officials recently paid city firefighters $17.5 million to settle a lawsuit about overtime and pension contributions.
According to a new report, 10% of Kentucky seniors are food insecure. That means they are unable to access or afford adequate amounts of food. Kentucky has the 11th highest rate of seniors with food insecurity, 9.8% of Kentucky residents over the age of 60 falling into that category. Kentucky Association of Food Banks spokesperson Tamara Sandberg says it is something no one should endure.
They're making choices that nobody should have to make, especially at the end of a long life of working hard. Many of our senior citizens tell us they're having to choose between paying for food and paying their utilities. 67% actually of food bank clients have to make that choice.
Seniors considered to be food insecure do not consume key nutrients required to keep them healthy. One out of every five Kentuckians served by local food banks are 60 years or older.
A Kentucky city has passed an expanded smoking ordinance banning the use of e-cigarettes and hookahs from public places or work sites. News outlets report the change went into effect today after the Louisville Metro Council voted in May to expand the city's smoke-free ordinance. Department of Public Health and Wellness Deputy Director Matt Rhodes says there was a comprehensive law that did not include e-cigarettes and hookahs because they were not on the market at the time. The new ordinance has exemptions for e-cigarette stores and non-tobacco-based hookah lounges, given that only non-tobacco and non-nicotine products are used at the locations. According to the department, the enforcement will be the same as the previous ordinance, with possible fines against establishments ranging between $50 and $500.
Federal mining regulators have told the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine to halt their study of the health risks for people living near Appalachian surface coal mines. The Interior Department's Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement, which announced last year it was funding the $1 million study, said in an August 18th letter that the department has begun reviewing grants over $100,000 largely for budget reasons. Spokesman William Kearney said on Monday, the academies believe the study is important and stand ready to resume when the department review is completed. He says two public meetings scheduled this week in Kentucky will be held. Results were expected next spring. Some studies have linked living near mountaintop removal mines to greater risks of cancer, birth defects, and premature death.
The Boyd County Detention Center suffered severe water and fire damage during a prison riot on Sunday. One officer was injured in the incident. Officials say it began late Sunday night when 10 high-level offenders fought off two guards and forced them to retreat. The guards secured the prisoners in a locked hallway where they set fire to a barricade of bedding, paper, and other flammable objects. WSAZ spoke to an inmate who asked to remain anonymous.
It was scary. It was really scary. We know the system's down. We know the doors are broke, so they can't even call to control to open the doors. They have to open all the doors by key. How are they going to get us all out of there if this place goes up? You know, there's so many people in there. It was just really frightening.
After regaining control of the situation, officials began evacuating the building. Around 70 other inmates were transported to other detention centers. The incident remains under investigation.
Brown County jailer Wes Coldiron says his facility is ready in the event of a prison riot. The Boyd County Detention Center had to be shut down over the weekend after 10 maximum security inmates intentionally set a fire. The remaining inmates were transferred to other facilities, including 10 to Brown County. Coldiron says plans are already in place in case of an emergency inside the Rowan jail.
You have an evacuation plan. You have a lockdown plan that would come in order first. You know, the main thing is to secure the jail, not let anybody out. With that being said, my guards are trained in different ways to handle situations like that, actually.
Coldiron says riots are a possibility in any jail, especially with the growing drug problems most inmates face.
The city of Moorhead is spending $1 million for a piece of downtown property. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the council agreed to purchase the 5.5-acre site, which is near the Greenhill City Park and the Recycling Center, just last week.
3.5 acres of it are on top, 2 acres are down in the bottom of the creek, and we're very excited about that. That's something that the city has looked at for many years, and I have to applaud my city council for being forward-thinking and being able to do this for future recreation opportunities.
The property is owned by three different groups, all stemming from the local Perkins family, which includes former Mayor David Perkins. Trent says city officials are still developing a plan for how to use the land.
Rowan's judge executive admits he's pretty well letting things slide when it comes to his plan for countywide zoning. Dr. Walter Blevins had said several months ago that he wanted to put together a blue ribbon panel to review the possibilities for zoning and gather public input on it. However, with other pressing matters to deal with, such as the building of the county's new jail, he set the matter aside. Blevins also doubts that he could convince Rowan's magistrates to pass it.
I don't know if I've got the votes on my court. I may be just spinning my wheels, but that's probably why I've not really pushed it, because I don't get a lot of positive input from my magistrates. It'll be an election year next year, and I think they're concerned about that. So it's something maybe the next judge will have to take on.
Although Blevins says he's still thinking about making another run at the matter before he leaves office next year when he retires.
The Moorhead Police Department is reminding everyone that it is still partnering with the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet and the State Department of Highway Safety on the Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over campaign. Captain Kyle Callahan says his officers will be on the area's streets and roads looking to arrest impaired drivers.
As we're winding down summer, this is maybe Labor Day is one of the, the last weekend of summer. A lot of unofficial people think that unofficially the end of summer. We're going to up our patrols.
And Callahan adds there'll also be increasing the number of safety checkpoints set up around town. In 2016, over 4,400 people were arrested on DUI charges in Kentucky, and more than 250 people were killed during drunk driving accidents.
Rowan County Schools Superintendent Marvin Moore expects the $1 million artificial turf project at the district's high school to be finished in the next 2 to 3 weeks. After being delayed by several days of rain in June and July, workers finally began laying down the turf surface over the weekend. Moore says their next step will be to add in its crushed rubber pellets.
Of course, then they have to make sure all the edges of the turf is attached to the concrete barrier they put all the way around the football stadium field and also the track. Then after they complete that, we're going to be putting a new rubberized cover on the track. They pretty much got the long jump, the high jump, the shot put, and the distance area. It's pretty much complete.
Moore remains hopeful that Rowan Senior High School's new turf field will be ready for the Viking football team's home opener on September 1st game against Mason County. If it's not, the team will play at Morehead State University's Jane Stadium.
Morehead State's new president says a month and a half into his tenure that he spent a lot of time doing some relationship building, both on and off campus and in meetings. According to Dr. Jay Morgan, there's much work to be done on MSU's next budget, mainly in trying to figure out how the school will be impacted by the state's new performance-based funding formula. With that in mind, Morgan says he has slowed down the hiring process for the university's current job vacancies.
I've let our folks know we've got a pretty good hourglass that only absolutely necessary people are going to get through, because we need to wait and see where we're going to land this fall. And that's not out of desperation. It's just out of, good process that we don't bring on a lot of new people until we have a real good evaluation of where we are on performance funding and enrollment revenue in general.
Morgan took over at MSU on July 1st after replacing former president Wayne Andrews, who retired after 12 years at the university.
One man is dead and multiple people are hospitalized following a boating accident near Maysville Saturday. According to the Ledger Independent, 52-year-old Ronnie Parker of Felicity, Ohio, was killed after he lost control of his speedboat on the Ohio River and had struck a pontoon boat. Maysville Police Lieutenant Justin Horch says none of the three people were wearing life vests. He spoke with WSAZ.
Just a horrible accident. Heartbroken, all over. You go out to an event and your life changes in just a split second. One thing I would say is, it's just like seatbelts in a car, is make sure you got your life preserver on if you're going to get out on the river.
Another man was struck by a boat propeller. He was airlifted to UC Medical Center. The Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife is investigating the incident.
One person is dead following an ATV accident in Elliott County on Friday. Kentucky State Police say 18-year-old Christopher Arthurs of Olive Hill struck the back of another ATV driven by 19-year-old Tyler Rayburn. Arthurs was thrown off his vehicle onto the pavement. First responders transported him to St. Clair Regional Medical Center, where he was pronounced dead. Rayburn was not injured in the incident. The crash remains under investigation.
Wildlife officials in Kentucky say people can go online to report suspected cases of a disease in dead or dying deer. Gabe Jenkins, big game coordinator for Kentucky's Fish and Wildlife Agency, says officials will use the reports to create maps to show the extent of the disease's spread. The digital form is available at fw.ky.gov under the Important Info tab. State officials began receiving reports in mid-July of deer stricken with EHD. The agency says it has received more than 240 reports of dead or dying deer suspected of contracting the disease in 34 counties. Most of the reports have been in eastern Kentucky. The viral disease is transmitted to deer through the bite of a midge or gnat. The disease does not affect humans or pets. Looking at the weather tonight, partly cloudy skies, low of 71 degrees. On Tuesday, partly cloudy in the morning, followed by scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon. A few storms may be severe, high of 88 degrees. Chance of rain is at 60%. On Tuesday night, thunderstorms likely in the evening, then the chance of scattered thunderstorms later on. A few storms may be severe, low of 64 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. On Wednesday, a few showers early with mostly sunny conditions later in the day, highs around 80 degrees, chance of rain at 30%. On Wednesday night, clear skies, low of 57 degrees. On Thursday, generally sunny despite a few afternoon clouds, high of 78 degrees. Thursday night, some clouds early will give way to generally clear conditions overnight, low of 58. Friday, partly cloudy skies, highs around 80 degrees. And on Friday night, a few clouds, low of 56 degrees. Looking at the temperatures for the listening area, Lexington 87 degrees, Flemingsburg 85 degrees, Ashland 88 degrees, Inez 86 degrees, Winchester 85 degrees, and in Moorhead it is 87 degrees. Looking at today's feature, hundreds of people gathered this afternoon for an eclipse party on the lawn of the Space Science Center. Leanne Akers was there.
Fly me to the moon, let me play.
People of all ages came to Moorhead State University's Space Science Center for the solar eclipse. In the last-minute scramble, MSU teamed up with the City of Moorhead and the Round County Board of Education to create the event. Kaylin Royce is a kindergartner at Clearfield Elementary. He was very excited to be present for the big event.
The solar eclipse. The sun will block the sun. I mean, who will block the sun? I say the sun will block the sun. Gonna make a big shadow.
Scientist Chuck Connor was one of the only members of the staff that didn't travel to the Path of Totality for research. Connor was happy to demonstrate one of the solar telescopes people were sharing.
This is a hydrogen alpha telescope. Now, as you well know, the sun can do some serious damage to your eyes, especially during an eclipse. So this particular telescope has filters in it, which filter out the frequencies which are not that harmful to your eyes. Now, I say every frequency can be, but it filters out so that you can see much of the activity that's going on around the sun without necessarily getting the damaging UV rays.
Alex Masterson attends the School for Creative and Performing Arts in Lexington. He brought his own equipment to the party.
This is a solar projector, so I didn't have these glasses at the time, so I made this ahead of time today. And it's a box. I put a hole here so I can look away from the sun, and I can see the sun in here. And whenever it turns black, I can safely look back and know that the moon has crossed.
The Space Science Center only had 600 eclipse glasses to hand out to those attending, and everyone shared. Even university students took a break from classes to join in the fun.
Yeah, it's not totality. It's just like 93% of it.
That's
so just
a lot,
like a little crescent of the sun is still going to be visible.
Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent played DJ for the event. He hopes the city and the MSU Space Science Center will co-host more events in the future.
Tech, it to me, is going to be the key to our economic future in Eastern Kentucky, to replace coal jobs, agriculture jobs, other jobs that have been lost. And so we are taking advantage of that little by little. We want children to be excited about space again.
For WMKY News, I'm Leanne Akers. It's 4:50 and 87 degrees in Moorhead. I'm Leanne Akers here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're glad to have you with us on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by St. Clair Regional.
Hello, I'm Ricky Watts, a nursing director at St. Clair Regional. We are currently looking to hire empathetic, compassionate, registered nurses to join our team. Nursing is more than just a profession at St. Clair Regional. We have new RN rates and benefit packages, and we're growing. More information can be found at St. Clair Regional's website, st-clair.org.
Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds have today off as they prepare to open a series with the Chicago Cubs tomorrow night at Great American Ballpark. One of the bright spots in an otherwise dismal year for the Reds has been the play of Scooter Gennett. Acquired from Milwaukee earlier in the season, the 27-year-old has hit .289 for the Reds with 21 home runs and 75 RBIs. Manager Brian Price says the player has performed at a much higher level than he ever expected.
To come in here, hit 20-plus homers, and be well into the 70s in RBIs for a guy that really started as a utility player, didn't get regular everyday at bats until July, the numbers just speak for themselves. And he's been really solid at second base in particular and a big part of the fabric of our clubhouse.
Gennett this past Saturday hit his third grand slam of the season, tying a Reds club record. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier liked what he saw from his team during past Saturday's inter-squad scrimmage. Tenier says not only did the Eagles play with a better tempo, but also with more effort, something that he and his assistants have told them they've needed to do.
And I felt like we did a better job of that on Saturday, and we were just more productive. We had a lot of guys making plays on both sides of the ball, and finally got some live kicks in with our freshman kickers, and a little more game speed. So I think we're getting closer to, the final product, and really liked what we saw.
Tenier says there are still more decisions to be made about MSU's depth chart in advance of their season opener against Kentucky Christian University on August the 31st at Jane Stadium. The first college football AP Top 25 poll of the season has been released. Alabama enters 2017 as the number one ranked team in the country. Ohio State, Florida State, USC, and Clemson round out the top five. Louisville is ranked 16th in the country. Kentucky is not ranked, but did receive 3 votes for the first time since October of 2015. With his team at 1-1 in the preseason, quarterback Andy Dalton says the Cincinnati Bengals offense is still a work in progress. The Bengals managed only 4 field goals in this past weekend's 30-12 loss to Kansas City. Dalton believes a running game that produces only 72 yards didn't help things. He says Cincy has to find a way to do a better job of moving the ball on the ground.
For us, we've got to find a way to either make a guy miss or open these holes big enough for our guys to make big runs.
The Bengals will face Washington next Sunday in their third preseason contest. The Bengals this weekend cut former Kentucky running back Boom Williams. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is close to an agreement on a new 5-year contract extension that runs through 2024. If the agreement is reached, the terms of Goodell's new deal will be similar to his current contract, which expires in 2019. Goodell last year made $32 million and has made over $212 million in his first 10 years as commissioner. The Round County football team moved to 1-0 on the year with a 54-36 win over Morgan County on Friday. Head coach Kelly Ford was pleased with his group's first performance of the year. He was especially happy with the performance of his starting running back.
Chris Bolton, he is a senior for us this year. He's also one of my two sport guys that also plays soccer. He's a workhorse, and he loves contact, and he loves sticking it up in there and running it, and he had a really, really good night.
Bowden had 234 rushing yards to go along with 5 touchdowns in the game. The 54 points Round put up on the Cougars was the most points a Round football team has scored in a game since August 22nd of 2015, when the Vikings beat Clay County 55-26. Round travels to Bath County this Friday. It will be Bath's first game of 2017. The Morehead State soccer team plays its home opener tonight. The Eagles face Northern Kentucky at 7 o'clock at Jane Stadium. MSU fell Friday to Western Carolina 3-1. That loss followed a pair of exhibition losses to Valparaiso and Butler, in which MSU was outscored by a combined total of 7-2. Head coach Warren Lipka says it's critical the Eagles avoid getting behind early and having to chase the game.
You got to find a way to get a goal back to get yourself back into the game, and that takes a lot of energy and it takes a lot of emotion to get that in there. So, our first priority is cut down on these goals and these early goals.
After tonight, the Eagles will be back in action on Friday night at home against Bowling Green. Finally in sports, the Round County boys soccer team has action tonight at Ashland Blazer at 6 o'clock. The 1-1 Vikings will be looking to bounce back from Saturday's 7-3 loss to Boyle County. Head coach Max Hammonds, though, remains confident in his team, saying it just needs to do a better job of passing and controlling the ball.
And you still see little passing inaccuracies out there that if we made a good pass or completed that pass, we would have held onto the ball for another minute or two. So we need to just make sure that we keep working on our defense and our offense needs to score more goals. So, there's just a lot of things overall that we need to work on, but I think we're going to get there by the time postseason runs.
Like Round, Ashland Blazer is 1-1 this season. The Round Lady Vikings will visit Menifee County tomorrow. That's sports for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Single game and season tickets for MSU fall sports are now available. Volleyball will host the Eagle Challenge this weekend, featuring matches with Delaware State, Winthrop, and Youngstown State. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mostly higher, but a decline in tech and financials kept a lid on gains. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 29.24 at 21,703.75. The S&P 500 was up 2.82 at 2428.37. The NASDAQ Composite was down 3.4 at 6213.13 as there was weakness in major technology stocks within the NASDAQ. Investors also paid close attention to geopolitics as President Donald Trump is set to lay out a U.S. strategy for the war in Afghanistan and engagement in the South Asia region, and both the U.S. and South Korea are also set to kick off war games this week. In economic news, there were no data releases today, and no Federal Reserve officials were scheduled to speak. However, investors looked ahead to Friday when the Fed Chair Janet Yellen is set to speak on monetary policy. Expectations for tighter monetary policy in the U.S. have been dampened recently by lackluster inflation data. Market expectations for a rate hike in December are just 41%, according to the CME. In the commodities markets, oil was down 2.4% at $47.34. Gold was up 0.4% at $1,297 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were down, with the Stock 600 index down 0.4%. In Asia, you had mixed markets. The Nikkei was down 0.4%, while in Shanghai, stocks were up 0.6%. And among Dow stocks, the best performers were Home Depot and Cisco, and the worst performers were Nike and Chevron. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Freeport-McMoRan and Johnson Controls, and the worst performers were Foot Locker and Snap-on. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 4 cents at 60.94, CSX down 8 cents at 48.70, AEP up 54 cents at 72.70, AK Steel down 4 cents at 5.21, Marathon Petroleum down 65 cents at 49.46, and Community Trust Bank was up a quarter, finishing at 41.70. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays near the Moorhead City Park. The Round County Farmers Market features homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. For more information, call 784-5457. Supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud.
Looking at the weather tonight, partly cloudy skies, low of 71 degrees. Tuesday, partly cloudy in the morning, followed by scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon. A few storms may be severe, high of 88, chance of rain at 60%. On Tuesday night, thunderstorms likely in the evening, then the chance of scattered thunderstorms later on. A few storms may be severe, low of 64 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. And on Wednesday, few showers early, with mostly sunny conditions later in the day. High around 80 degrees, chance of rain at 30%.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, Chaz Jenkins, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Brian Courtney, and Logan Pemberton. From Kentucky News Network, we had help from Paul Miles. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.